Well, you are a bunch of radical people coming to church during Christmas break, right before New Year's. What's wrong with you? You must love the Lord or something, huh? Amen. No, we're glad that you're here. Of course, the rest of the ministry staff is out getting some well-deserved time off. Praise the Lord. We've got to be gone last week, visit family. We got to go up to Illinois and visit our parents and a lot of family there. And so we're glad to be back, and everybody else is getting their chance this week. And so thank God. Don't want to miss Sunday morning now. Pastor Craig's going to be ministering on how to have a great year. He called it, I'm telling you, the last 2 years, he hit it right on the head. So you don't want to miss it. But he talked about how to have a great year in 2020, and a lot of people didn't have a great year, did they? 2021. But how many of you, I don't know about you, I can testify, we had some things happen in these last 2 years that were over and above what we could ever ask or think, and I just thank God for it. Amen? Hallelujah. And I just believe 2022 is going to be my best year so far. Amen? Glory to God. And you don't have to listen. I don't care who else has a good year or not. I'm going to. I do care, but I do care that you do. I want you to have a good year. All right? Praise the Lord. You know, we were singing that song, I Worship You, Almighty God. And every time we sing that song, I think back to when that song was written. Small church, Lighthouse Church in Owenton, Kentucky. A small church at the time, but then they built a bigger building. But still not that large of a building. And Sandra Corbett wrote that song, and there several years ago. It's in the 80s that they wrote that song. But I think about that, how God has used that song, and it's just such a wonderful, wonderful song. And that just tells me this. You don't have to be from someplace big and mighty. You don't have to be part of this name or that name or that name. When God gives you something, it can impact the entire world. Amen? Yeah, little old you. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, a couple weeks ago on Sunday night, Pastor Bill Ray preached a sermon on making decisions. And as I was sitting there, I grabbed my note, my iPad, because I had just written some things about five steps concerning making change. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. But I want to begin by giving you Pastor Bill's five steps for making decisions from his sermon on December the 12th. So if you want to go get that, that's out there, and I'm sure in the bookstore. Number one, get all the facts. Isn't that good? Amen. Number two, get godly advice. Number three, get the word on the subject. Number four, get God's timing. And number five, get the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of these are going to be they're going to be exactly on what we're talking about tonight, but how many of you know it doesn't hurt to hear things more than once? So get the facts, get godly advice, get the word on the subject, get God's timing, get the leading of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, I want to talk about what I'm going to title, Change, the Skill of Entering and Leaving. The Skill of Entering and Leaving. And I'm borrowing that phrase, entering and leaving, from Dr. Ed Cole, if you remember Dr. Ed Cole in his ministry. He talked about the skill of entering and leaving. And so we want to talk about that tonight. But number one, and as again, Bill left off with this, I'm going to make it number one on our list tonight. Go to Romans 8. We must be led by the Spirit of God. Change is inevitable, and it happens. And I just got the sense as a couple weeks ago, I'm not thinking about change. I've had a few times in life in prayer, God would say, get ready for change. And so, you know, in doing that, these are some things that I've learned practically and spiritually during those times. But God may be speaking to many of you about making changes or transitions. Those times are coming. And I think change is a part of life. And the way that we handle change, it determines really where we are in life. All right? Sometimes change happens because of crisis. Sometimes it just happens because it's the next step. All right? But the way we leave where we are now determines how we enter into the next phase. All right? Have you ever thought about this? Just, you know, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but just to help us understand this. You know, if you're sitting in here and you get mad and you leave the sanctuary and you walk out into the north foyer, you left here mad, you entered there mad. The way you left determined how you entered. And that is a truth. I'm telling you, it's a truth in life. The way we leave one situation determines how we enter other situations. All right. Romans 8, verse 14 through 16 says this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now here, this sons of God is not gender specific. It's a place in Christ. It's talking to us, male and female Christians, because we are all one in Christ. It's talking to us of our union with Christ, that we're joint heirs with Him. We are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, now the King James says itself, and I understand, but the Spirit is not an it in that sense. The Spirit is a divine person. The Spirit, I like other translations now say it this way, the Spirit Himself, but we could just say the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Where does our spirit reside? In the inside, right? I am a spirit. I have a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions, and I live in a body. Now, all of us are very familiar with our bodies, okay? All of us, and we have emotions, we know about that, and some, you know, as long as you haven't given away too many pieces of your mind, you still have a mind. You ever heard somebody say, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind? Well, you better be careful, you might run out. No, I'm just joking, all right? But we are really spirit beings. We're made in the image of God. The spirit man is the eternal person on the inside of us. And if we are, so my point with this is the Spirit of God's going to lead us and guide us on the inside. So many times we're looking at outside elements to gain guidance and to make change when we need to look at those things. But number one is, what is the Spirit of God saying on the inside of me, in here? Now, we know some things about the leading of the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit will never lead you to do something that violates God's word, will never lead you to do something that's outside of the love of God, right? And so in that, we know that the Spirit of God then... I like to say it this way, and this is our next point. God's word is God speaking to us. So the Spirit of God is going to sound like God's word to us. Amen. I'm amazed, you know, and I don't know when you read the Bible what that sounds like. But you know, when you read, how many of you hear words? You hear the words in your mind, right? God's created us. It's a wonderful thing God's created. That when, like that, we read. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read it, because I read out loud too, but when I just read to myself and don't read out loud, it's still the same voice. It's like my voice. But in reading the Word of God, it also then, when God leads me, it's that same voice. But it doesn't come from up here, it comes from in here. Amen. You know, sometimes, you know, I don't know how, but sometimes I just stop and I just close my eyes to try to get and just begin to look to the inside. Just to make myself, just as an act of something to do, not to force God, but just on the inside. So ever have that voice, I'm going to tell you this. The voice of the leading of the Spirit of God is going to sound a whole lot like the Word of God to you. That same voice that you hear the Word of God in. Amen. How many of you have ever... You've been thinking about something and you heard something that some preacher you listened to, you heard that on the inside of you. You heard them say it, right? The Spirit of God brought that to your remembrance of what they had said. So number one, must be led by the Spirit of God. Number two, God's word is God speaking to us. Look at Romans 12. Whenever it's a time of change, even more so when it's a time of change and transition, you need to be consuming large portions of the Word of God. I want to encourage you to overeat on God's Word. All right? I want to encourage you to have a Thanksgiving feast every day on God's word. Okay? Romans 12:2 says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." One of the synonyms of the word change is transform. To be transformed, or to make a transformation. All right? And he says we are to do it through the renewing of our mind. Well, we know from other places that renews our mind is the Word of God. The New Living Translation says this here: "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world." I like that. "But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, what is good and pleasing and perfect." Let him change you by changing the way you think. The transformation comes, the change comes by changing the way you think. And that's the truth. And to do something new, you have to change how you currently think. Right? If you're going to do something new, you can't think the same way. You have to change the way you think. And to do what God wants you to do, even though it may be similar to what you're doing right now, to take that next step, you're going to have to begin to change the way you think. And the way you do that is with his word. Let him change you by listening to his word and reading his word, feeding yourself. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word, or every rhema, word spoken to you from God. Words for you right now that applies to you right now. In looking at, in the book Foundations of Pentecostal Theology, this statement is made. It says this: "Our likeness to Christ is therefore not something applied from without." Okay, he says this: "It's not a cosmetic transformation produced by the formula of some religious makeup department, but a genuine likeness produced by an intimate relationship with him." In order for me to have an intimate relationship with God, I have to spend time with God. The number one way I do that is through his word, or one of the greatest ways. Obviously, prayer also. But through his word, every time I read the scripture, I'm spending time with God. Amen? And I'm letting that change. This change we're talking about, where does the Spirit of God lead us? On the inside. So where's the change going to come from? From the inside out. It's not going to be something. Sometimes I think, you know, even as Christians, word people, as we like to call, whatever we are. I'm just a Christian. How about you? Right? But as that, we still kind of tend to look to the outside sometimes for our answers, when all along it's something that's on the inside. Amen. You know, your healing is already in you. The healing power of God's already in you. The life of God is in you. Amen. It's already there. And so look into the inside through the word of God. Now, I like Wiest translation. They don't have it to put on the screen. But Wiest translation says this, verse 2 of Romans 12, "Stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being." Listen, let me read that again. "Stop assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you are in your inner being, but is patterned after this age. But change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind, resulting in your putting to the test what is the will of God, the good, well-pleasing, and complete will. And having found that it meets specifications, place your approval upon it." Now you say, well, now, brother, how is reading the Word of God going to help me know what, if I should make a change in my job, or if I should, you know, do this or do that? Well, in all things, we're to be led by the Spirit of God, right? When you read the Word of God, you become more familiar with the voice of God on the inside of you. All right? So these two things go together. Now, let's turn over to Psalm 37. So, the desire for change, since that comes from within, cannot be based on anything external. Well, they don't treat me right at that job. Tough. Life's not fair. I know people don't like to hear that. But this world system is going to try to keep you down. Amen. I grew up, those days have come and gone, but I grew up playing lots of sports. I mean, you can't tell it now, but I played college basketball. I got to play college golf. That was a gift to me, praise the Lord. Nothing like playing free golf every day. I mean, that was the greatest thing in the world. But, you know, we had a lot of people over those years growing up playing that had great ability and would have been a great addition to the team, but they never would get beyond. They blamed everything on the reason they could, because, oh, I don't like the coach. It's always my coach's fault or this fault or that fault. No. You're a quitter. That's all they did. They quit. Look, I'm going to be 61 next month. I'm getting to the point. I'm not trying to be mean, but I don't have time to not say the way the truth is. Don't blame where you are on anybody else. That's my point. So change, we have to be careful with change and realize that the desire, that change comes from within when it's of God. Look at Psalm 37. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, where's God going to put? Look at that two ways. When I delight myself in the Lord, he puts the right desires in me, and he brings those desires to pass. I think it's two ways. He gives me the desires, and he brings them to pass. But if I'm looking at outward circumstances, I can want something so much that I can make it God's will for my life. And God will let me have it, even though it's not his will, because he's given me free will. I can get so worked up about something. I can get so wanting to make something happen, wanting change because of external things. Now let's look at Romans chapter 1, and this is a tough section of scripture, but I'm going to use it tonight. Not afraid of the Bible, are you? Okay. In talking about here in context, he talked about he's not ashamed of the gospel, all these things. In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed to everyone who believes. Salvation is provided, right, to everyone who believes. Jew first and also the Greek. He talks about how God has not left himself without witness to the world. That people say, well, I don't know God. All you got to do is look at the world and you can see God. Okay. So he gets that down to verse 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now look at this. Now, this is talking about people that wanted to change what God had done because they wanted something else. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Now, the word lust means desire. Usually when the word lust is used, it means desiring something that God is not God's will. And notice that God let them have what they lusted for because they have a free will. Okay? to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. There's desires. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Now, how did God say this happened? Because they changed and lusted for something that they wanted, but it didn't. But so God let them have. But it doesn't. It does not say this is God's will. And let me tell you something. God didn't make them that way. They're following their own lust, and they desire their desire overrides the word of God in their life. Because listen, I know Christians, people that say they're Christians. Amen. Who know God, but are exchanging it. Because they worship their own desire more than they do God. Well, that's just in this area. We could go on and read. There's a lot of things there. About how the wrath. But you know, you can want something that looks like, and you can make it be God. In the fall of 2006, God started talking to me about change. Prepare yourself for change. Okay. So just started praying about it. I told my wife, I keep hearing the word change. Okay, change, change. At that time, I've been working here for 5 years. But just change, you know. So I'm starting to look at change. And, you know, when you hear that, you kind of, if you're not careful, you start looking out here instead of in here. Well, in the spring of that year, my brother-in-law Mike's playing the keyboards. His dad was the pastor of the church that we call our home church. And I worked for him for 9 years before going to Kentucky for 6.5, then coming here. But his dad called me and said, would you be interested? I'm looking at, you know, retiring really, I'm having some different things. Would you be interested in coming here and taking the church? And I said, No, not really. I didn't really think about that. Well, a week later, my brother-in-law, not him, but my other brother-in-law, who had a church 15 miles down the road, he calls me and says, hey, I really think, you know, would you be interested in coming and take pastor in this church? And I can just do this, you know, and I'll be help you, but I just don't really, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I said, no. Well, about a couple weeks later, they both called me and said, we've decided to merge our churches together, and would you come take over the merging of that church? Well, by now I'm thinking, you know, this is three times now. And God, you did say something about change. Well, at that time, I worked in the alumni and RMAI office, and my boss was Doug Jones, and Doug's called me in his office and said, hey, I got this RMAI church in Illinois that's merging with another church. Would you help him out? And I said, well, yeah, I know all about it. It's my brother-in-law. And my, okay. So I started going up there meeting with him, you know. Well, that whole summer, you know, that time, that was in the spring and through the whole summer, and you know, this started looking pretty good. We're moving back home and doing, you know, and pastoring and just doing, you know, just looking like it's going to be a good thing. Now, I had two people in my family that didn't like this idea, didn't think it was right. Another person didn't care. And then me. Amen. Well, we made the decision that's what we're going to do. But we're already, by the time the decision's made, the school year's already started in 2007 here, and you don't leave at the beginning, you wait until the end of the year, the school year's over before you make that change, all right? And so, but it's the Sunday, that Sunday, this coming Sunday, and I've been going up there twice a month, preaching once, getting it all ready. That Sunday, the merger was taking place, and we were going to be there and announce that we would be coming in the end of May, 1st of June, to take over the church. During that time, these two pastors would oversee it. So the Wednesday before that, At this time, Amanda's working for Mrs. Hagen. I'm working here. Wednesday before that, we asked the Hagens if we could meet with them after service. We got to talk to them. All right, we're walking out. Pastor runs over and about bull tackles me because they said meet us in, Miss Hagen said meet us in the back room. He goes, why are we meeting with you? You're not leaving, are you? I got something I need you to do. Now, the Sunday before that, I had been up there. I'm driving back after Sunday morning service. I remember it's 106 degrees outside, according to, you know, I should have noticed this is hell, you know, I'm driving it. But as I'm driving home from Central Illinois to here, and the whole way I keep hearing, are you sure you're making the right decision? I mean, I'm rebuking the devil. I'm telling him in the name of Jesus, I'm telling, you know, da, 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 I'm just giving it to him. Now, the whole time, Manny said, well, I don't know about this, but if you think that's what we're supposed to do, I guess I'll submit to it. We'll go. Which was point number four. The place of agreement is the place of power. Don't make change without agreement, especially when you're married. And an agreement with the Word of God and agreement with others. Right? How can two walk together unless they be agreed? So anyway, we're headed down to, they wanted to go to eat. So we headed out to eat after church. And we're in the car driving there. And I told Amanda, I told her, I said, what in the world does he want me to stay? I said, at this point, now I talked myself. You realize on the inside, I had no peace, but on the outside, I had it all figured out. That's why I'm teaching you this. Because I told her, I said, the only thing that will keep me here is if they want me to be the dean of the school and work with the international campuses. And I said, I've known Marvin since for years and years. This is his dream job. He's not going anywhere. Marvin Yoder, those of you who know Marvin, he was the dean at that time. He's not leaving anywhere. So we get to the restaurant, and so we're getting, you know, hello. So Pastor says, all right, you go first. And so I said it. He just looked at me like, I mean, he looked at me like, that's the furthest thing from here, from what I think God's will is, and man, you know, like I was going to rocket to the moon the next day. I said, well, okay. He goes, well, Marvin is leaving at the end of the year. And we'd like you to consider being the dean of the school and then also working with all of our international campuses. Now, I knew immediately when he said that, that's the change. But I had let all these other outside things, opportunities, the pastor of church, you know, it's merging together. Those churches merged. My brother-in-law took over. They're still going good today. Broke all the rules about merging churches. It happens, they've broken them all. They're still doing great after all these years. They're in 2007. Amen. I had to call them, had to call our parents, say, no, we're not moving up there. I mean, my mom already had a house picked out for us. I mean, she you know, she gets after, you know. And whether, you know, anybody else, I knew, and Amanda knew this was it. Okay. So the next day, I was Wednesday night, Thursday, I called everybody, said, "Where?" And then we went back over there and met with them and said, yeah, this is it. But you can desire something so strongly that you'll talk yourself into it being the will of God. And God will just let you, he'll try to warn you. He always does his part. But he'll just, if you're going to be bullheaded, you can just be bullheaded and make the choice. And some people learn. Amen? Any of you have ever had children or been a child? But how many of you know, you might have a friend, you might have a family member, they always had to learn it the hard way. You tell them, don't do that, they got to do it. They just have to. And then they learn, well, I wish I had listened to you. Don't you know God could do that to us? Well, if you'd listened to me, I would have kept you out of here. Thank God he's merciful. So don't make carnal decisions based on desire. Place of agreement is the place of power. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And then Matthew 18 says, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And let's end with this. The way you leave determines how you enter. There in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 15, it says this. If your brother trespasses against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you shall have gained your brother. See, that's the idea. Not to prove I'm right and you're wrong, but to gain your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word should be established. Why? To gain your brother. And if he neglects to hear him, tell it to the church. Why? To gain your brother. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto the heathen man and a publican. Why? He's made a decision to make change, violating the word of God. Mark 11. Turn over there in your Bible. Mark chapter 11. See, there's times we want to enter into the place of prayer. Amen? And enter into the place of faith. But if you enter into the place of faith with strife and unforgiveness in your heart, that won't work. Amen? You can't go to the place of prayer. I mean, Mark 11, 22 through 24, we know, well, we love those verses. But what about 25 and 26? Look at verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Faith is nullified. Prayer is nullified in unforgiveness. So what's my point? You tried to leave that place. You left this place you're in and tried to enter into prayer, but you didn't discard the unbelief of the unforgiveness. You didn't take care of that. And you can't enter into prayer of faith and pray in faith if you've got unforgiveness. Do you see that? Whatever you're carrying with you, people get mad all the time. They get bitter. Well, bitterness is a cancer. It will eat you up from the inside. Offense, bitterness. The Bible warns about the gall of bitterness. It's that bitter taste. And if you ever had the unfortunate experience of having any type of acid reflux, you understand what that's about. It will eat you up. Some people get it so bad it eats their esophagus up. It will eat you and burn you from bitterness. You get bitter about this. You get offended about that. Offense and bitterness come because of either real or unreal expectations not being met most of the time. But it's all from the outside. But once you take it and get it in you, it'll eat you up from the inside. And you get bitter at this job, or you get bitter at that church, or you get bitter at this school, and you say, I'm going to go to another one. Excuse me. You're going to take that bitterness with you. It's still in you. And if you're not careful, it will consume your life. It will cut you off. The way you leave determines how you enter. Look at Mark 5. Are you doing all right? I mean, sorry, Matthew 5. These are spiritual truths, but they're also practical truths. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has aught against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come offer your gift. Notice, take care of things, make things right where you're leaving before you enter into the new. Because the way you leave will determine how you enter. I've talked to people, you know, and talked to ministers who are in the process of splitting a church, and they're going to take the disgruntled people from this church and form a new church, First Church of the Disgruntled, First Church of the Bitter and Angry and Unsubmissive. Did I just say that? Yeah, I did. Amen. The first church of those who don't want to be pastored. But that happens in the natural, in jobs, doesn't it? In schools, it happens all the time. But we as Christians, we've got some inside information not to do that. Amen. Romans 14, 23, in talking about this subject of whether or not you do, whatever you do, let it be. He says this, let it be of faith. He says, if he that doubts is damned if he eats, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if you leave a position not in faith, and you can't only have faith if it's God's will. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So if you're leaving some situation trying to make, I'm not talking about change and transfer where we're changing ourselves for the better. I'm not talking about those type of things. I'm talking about in some of these more natural areas now. When you leave that and it's not in faith, it's sin. Amen. Now, the great thing about God is when we do miss it and we do sin, whatever how you call it, whatever how you spell it, sin is still sin. We can go to God, we can confess it to Him, and we can go back. Now, you have to be an adult to go back and say, I was wrong. I grew up that day, I had to call those two pastors and had to call my family. I grew up a lot that day because I had to make those things right. I was missing God. I don't know. I've never heard of Nanda's really not talked about it, but I know she had to, it had to be like whew, the weight just had to, because I was dragging my family into this. But thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ed Cole said this: reasonable men adapt to the world around them. Unreasonable men make the world adapt to them. The world is changed by unreasonable men. It's unreasonable to people to follow God and to be led by God. But don't let that stop you. Always make change from the inside out. In the spiritual things and in natural things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up. Prayer team, if you go ahead and come on down. Hallelujah. Hope you got something out of this tonight. Praise God. Amen. Some practical and spiritual things here. You know, I was a youth pastor for, well, I worked with the youth for 4 years. I wasn't a youth pastor, never had a calling, but it needed to be done, so I did it. But I learned a valuable, valuable lesson working with youth and teaching and preaching to youth, that you can preach and you can say what God says without anybody ever saying amen. So I don't care if you ever respond. All right? I'm going to say what I feel like God said. I didn't expect anybody to shout tonight anyway. Glory to God. We didn't have any first-time guests, I think, did we? Ron, where's Ron? Back there. Okay. Praise the Lord. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, the men are over here on my left, your right. Ladies over here on my right and your left. Come down. Ladies, come to the ladies. Men, to the men. For anything you need prayer for tonight, they'll pray with you according to the Word of God. Why? Because that's where help comes from, God's Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, how many of you know now we're in indecision? We're decisions. People make decisions and changes, try to make changes. Let it come from within. Just remember these practical little things we talked about tonight. Amen. And you will hear from God and you'll make the right decision. That's one thing that I learned out of that I'll hear God and I'll make the right decision. So I've used that since then and it's really helped. Calling things that be not as though they were, and saying what's God. Amen. All right. God bless you. Have a great night. Be careful driving out. People are all over out there looking at the lights. God bless you.